scripture having to do with the appearance of Jesus after the resurrection. And the series that we're in, well, seven next words of Jesus. We're familiar with the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, but where were the seven next words of Jesus following the resurrection? So far, we've considered the words, whom are you looking for? The words are, peace be with you. Listen to the word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails, put my finger in the mark, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here in this scripture, three times Jesus says, peace be with you. So we know this is so very important. Now, when Jesus comes into the house, this is, well, it's miraculous. The doors were locked. The disciples were behind these locked doors in fear of their lives. But let me tell you something. There may be locked doors that keep us inside. But no locked doors can keep Jesus outside. He will come to us wherever we are in our fears. Why were they afraid? Well, they had heard that from the women that somehow or another they had seen Jesus and these things had happened. But it was confusing to them. And they also knew that they had seen Jesus die. They knew that. They had seen it. And they also knew that now their lives might be in jeopardy. And so it's only natural to have fear for your life and to hide behind locked doors. So when Jesus comes and he says, peace be with you, it was the words they needed to hear. Let it go. I'm here. We can let it go when Jesus is with us. Peace be with you. And so he speaks these words for the first time. You know, the disciples might also have been afraid for this reason. When Jesus came in, the last thing they remembered about their relationship with Jesus was that they had denied him and fled for their lives. And, well, you know what it's like. You're used to hearing words like, "Where were you? Why did you do that?" But none of that. Jesus just simply said, "Peace be with you." In other words, all is well. Everything's good between us. Shalom. Peace. You're my friends. I said you were my friends. You're still my friends. Peace. Let me tell you, fear was gone. There was no reason for shame or guilt. Jesus said, peace. And when Jesus says peace to us, there's no reason for shame or guilt either. And so, guess what? Jesus showed them his hands and his side. And he said to them again, peace be with you. Only this time, he added to it, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. This is interesting. Just a few minutes ago, they were a frightened group of disciples, unable to testify, unable to witness, unable to be Christ's representatives in the world. But now Jesus is saying, you're ready. There's no more testing for you. There's not a litmus test for you. There's not any more preparation for you. You're ready now to go into the world. You see, it has been my mission. God sent me into the world for a purpose. And now I'm sending you into the world for a purpose. But they didn't need to feel inadequate or empty, because then he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. When God breathes upon us, it's life. You remember in Genesis, God breathed into the dust and the breath of life, created mankind. When God breathes his Spirit, when Jesus breathes upon them, Holy Spirit, new life, has the ability even to bring the dead back to life again. And so he's saying, you are now ready to go. You have my Spirit. You have my peace. You have the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you into the world. Now let me tell you something about what peace means at this point. They're going to need peace to go into the world, because into the world you'll find conflict. There'll be times that you won't be able to find peace in the world at all. But when you have the peace of Christ, you see, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. When you have the peace of Christ, you will have all you need to stand up, to say yes to the things that need to be affirmed, no to the things that need to be denied. You'll have the strength of Jesus when he stood before those who judged him to be able to speak truth and in the face of power. When you have this kind of peace, you're able to do things that you previously were not able to do, because you realize that it is the living presence of Christ that makes it well with your soul, and not necessarily outward circumstances. It's that kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. And so, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Breathe upon them this Holy Spirit. Now, there was somebody who was not there when all that happened. It was Thomas. And so later on, the disciples say, hey, you know, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas says, well, you know, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I cannot believe. I want to tell you something. I think Thomas has been unjustly criticized. He's been known as Doubting Thomas, and don't be like him, because you should be able to walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, Thomas said, I can't believe unless I see. Let me tell you something. The other disciples got to see. Jesus said, see my hands, see my side. Thomas was not there when that happened. He only wanted to be able to see what the others had seen. We unfairly criticize Thomas because, well, he wasn't in fear locked behind those doors. He was out doing something. We don't know what, but he wasn't crouched in fear behind doors like those disciples. So unfairly criticized, he merely says, unless I see. And so the following week, Thomas is there in the house with the disciples. Jesus comes back and the third time says, peace be with you. When Jesus says it the third time, we know this is really, really important. First of all, in this situation, because Thomas needed to hear those words, he needed to hear just what the other disciples had heard. And then Jesus invites him to put his finger here and to see my hands and to put your hand in my side and don't doubt, but believe. And you know what? We're not even told whether Thomas touched him or not. We assume he touched him. But the one thing we know is that immediately he said, my Lord and my God. He was the one who made the profession of faith. And so Thomas really, he's been unfairly criticized, but he comes to this place of being able to see what the others had seen, and he professes his faith. Now, when Jesus says, do not doubt, but believe, Jesus is not talking about now you're going to have certainty. No, Jesus is talking about trust. You see, we don't live by certainty. We live by trust. And so from that point on, Thomas is going to trust in the Lord. Now, we don't have an official record in the Bible about this, but tradition has it that Thomas went out and took the gospel to India. He took it to far places in the world. He trusted in Jesus from that time on. Wow. He had the peace. He had the same peace that we can have. And then I want to tell you something. It's kind of strange. Let's say that you're reading the gospel and you come to that part where Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Who's Jesus talking about there? Jesus is turning his attention. He's turning his eyes away from the disciples. He's turning his eyes away from Thomas. And he's looking into the far off distant future. And he's looking at us. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. And he's saying, listen, you're going to be blessed because you're going to be able to believe even though you were not here with these disciples. Imagine you're at a play. Polly and I just went to a play. We're talking about how much fun it is. But imagine you were at a play and it comes down to the end of the play. And then the lead character on the stage goes, wait a minute. All this on the stage, that part's over with. Now you're on the stage. You're being invited into the story. And Jesus steps out into the here and now and says, I'm talking to you. And he says, peace be with you. Do you have fear anywhere to keep you from being my disciples? Peace be with you. Do you have shame or guilt anywhere to keep you from being my people? Peace be with you. Do you wonder whether you're really my people? No longer wonder. I am sending you to be my people. Do you feel inadequate and empty? I am filling you with the Holy Spirit. Do you need to know that I am real? Do you need to touch me today? You can. The bread and the juice. It's the tangible evidence that we have today that the same Jesus Christ is with us. We can believe. And it's into the world that he sends us with his Holy Spirit and with his peace. "You know, today we had a confirmand to begin what will be a lifelong journey." How is it with you in your journey right now? Do you need to be renewed? You can at the table. Let us now receive this invitation. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, we have failed to love you with all our heart and to be good stewards of your creation. According to your goodness, O Lord, have mercy upon us. We have failed to take up the cross of discipleship and to be good stewards of your gospel. According to your goodness, O Christ, have mercy upon us. We have failed to be faithful members of your church and to be good stewards of your spiritual gifts. According to your goodness, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The good news is that all who trust in Christ will have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life. As you hold this faith, I declare that you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven. Thanks be to all God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, good and gracious God. By the power of your spoken word, creation was given birth. All things came into existence because you desired to create diversity, beauty, order, and wonders. Out of your love for us, you created us in your image and granted us the responsibility to care for your creation. We abused our freedom and used it to fulfill our own desires. We turned from you, abandoned our neighbors, and went our own way. Yet you did not give up on us. You sought to redeem us from our sin, reclaim us as your people, and make a covenant with us to be our God. You did all of this because you are a God of mercy. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of your Son. The imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.